Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them for telling future generations about God and His Word. The hustle and bustle of Christmas has now passed, but the memories still linger on. But that's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful gift and a blessing. A salesperson for one of those vacation timeshare spiels once said to me, "After vacation, all you have is a box of pictures, a box of memories. What do you have left? You have nothing to show for it. But if you have a place like this, you will have an investment that will last and pass down for generations." I may not know very much about investments and timeshares and things like that, but I do know about memories, and memories of the heart are special things. Because after all the gifts and toys, the boxes and the cards, and all the Christmas get-togethers, what do we have left? We have our special memories of meaningful people in our lives that God has blessed us with, and treasured and divine moments in our lives when God came near and showed Himself strong on our behalf, drawing us to Himself. Do you know that memories for Mary, who was the mother of our Lord Jesus, was all that she had? Tucked away in the Christmas story is a short little verse that we read in Luke chapter 2 that is sandwiched between the shepherds coming to visit the manger, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and the shepherds returning and glorifying God because all that they had seen and heard. In between all this busyness of people coming and going, talk of angels appearing, a star shining, and finding no room in the inn for the birth of God's Son, the Son of the Highest, we read these words in verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In Luke chapter 2, it's as if we see the curtains of Mary's heart pull back just a bit, and we see Mary in a state of wonder and in awe, treasuring every moment. We also see clearly in this concise little verse that Mary didn't understand fully all that was happening to her and around her because she was not divine or omniscient. Instead, we see Mary pondering, wondering, perhaps even thinking and praying, taking it all in as any human being born of man would do. This is a picture of Mary, who is a servant of the Lord, resting in her Lord, trusting in Him and not in herself, and yet at the same time marveling at all that the Lord was doing right in her very midst, right before her very eyes. Mary knew that all these events that had come to pass that day and all the events that there would one day yet be was all because of the Lord. It was all His doing, and she was only a servant, a handmaiden of the Lord. As Psalm 118 verse 23 says, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Each of us, like Mary, have a hidden treasure box in our hearts to store our special memories. This season is a great time for remembering when God came near to us, not just 2,000 years ago in a manger, but when God, through His grace, drew us to Himself, calling us to Him to be His child, part of His family forever, all through faith in His Son. And that's because every day of the year is really Christmas, where we can celebrate and remember, pondering anew our greatest treasures, the gift of God, our salvation, and all that God has done for us each day. Today on Telling Future Generations, I would like to open some of my heart's treasure box and share with you just a few of my special memories that I keep in my heart that I love to look at, to think about, and to remember. First, I want to thank the Lord for my wonderful parents that the Lord has given to me. Myself and my brother and my sister were all blessed to grow up in a home where the name of Jesus was proclaimed and God's word was taught. All of us grew up knowing about Jesus, who Jesus is, and why Jesus came. I was 3 years old when my first sad memory, though, came into my life, the loss of my grandfather. At 3 years of age, I couldn't understand where my grandpa had gone. I remember even asking people and coming up to them, even the post office, who I thought who looked like my grandpa, and I would say to them, "Are you my grandpa?" But of course, they weren't. God then began turning my heart towards heaven and turning my heart towards Him. I began asking my mom questions about heaven and where is heaven and how one day I could go to heaven too. Around the same time, through my grandpa's sickness and his death, my mother came to faith in Christ through a Billy Graham crusade. Not long after my mom had trusted in Christ as her Savior, she thought about the children, not just her own children, my sister and myself, but also other children who were like her, who may have grown up in a religious home, but never clearly understanding how they too could have a personal relationship with Christ through faith alone in Him. My mom prayed, "Lord, what about the children? Who is going to tell them?" A few weeks later, a friend knocked on my parents' door, inviting my mom to come to a teacher training class to learn how to share Jesus, the gospel message, with children. It wasn't just any class, it was a Child Evangelism Fellowship teacher training class that was being conducted by a Child Evangelism Fellowship missionary who was back from overseas on furlough and who lived just 4 miles away from my parents' home in Ohio. I don't know about you, but I believe that this was the Lord providentially at work doing a marvelous thing in our very midst. At the same time my mom was being trained by Margaret Ann Bash, the Child Evangelism Fellowship missionary who lived in Forest, Ohio, also she decided to start a CF teacher training class for adults and a CF Good News Club for children in her own home. Every week for at least a year or more, I attended the CF Good News Club in Margaret Ann Bash's home. I remember sitting on the floor, staring at Margaret's feet, her beautiful feet, as the Bible would say, because every week, Margaret faithfully proclaimed to myself and to my sister and the other 7 children coming to her home the wonderful gospel message, the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Within a year, at the tender age of 4, my heart was primed and ready. I had been gospeled up with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I understood now who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and how I could have a right relationship with God through faith alone in Christ, believing in all that what Jesus had done for me on the cross. One Sunday after church, our car pulled into the driveway in front of our yellow house and yellow barn, and my mom then told my dad and my sister that she wanted to talk to me by herself. I remember coming up and sitting in the front seat of the car, and my mom asked me some questions, and then my mom led me to Christ that day. I prayed a simple prayer out loud from my heart, telling the Lord Jesus that I knew that I had done wrong things. I told him that I knew that I had sinned, and I believed that he is God, that he died on that cross for me to take my punishment for my sin. And I asked him that day to forgive me of my sin, believing that he died and rose again, just like the Bible said. I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior that day, believing on him and calling on him to be his child forever. I know that I was only 4 years of age, but that is a memory in my life that I will never forget. And it is a memory that I will always cherish and remember because that is the day when the Lord Jesus became my Lord and my Savior and he changed my life forever. Some may ask, well, what happened to the 40 plus years after that? Was everything perfect? Was everything good? No doubts, no slip-ups, no problems? Of course not, but Jesus was with me, and he is with me every step of the way, because all the way my Savior leads me. At 15 years of age, I did try to stray a little bit. It wasn't necessary an outward straying, but an inward straying of the heart. I remember telling God one day upstairs in my room with my fist clenched, God, get out of my life. I'm so glad he didn't listen to me. I was upset because I wanted to act and live the way I saw others acting, but I didn't understand and I didn't like the conviction of my heart. And by the way, that was the Holy Spirit that was keeping me from sin. I'm so glad that God walked beside me every step of the way, even when I wasn't walking with him. Jesus, he never gave up on me. And in fact, he's shown me more and more of his love for me and who he really is. I remember I was at an Easter cantata in Findlay, Ohio. It wasn't my idea to go. It was my mom's, and I didn't want to be there. I was a teenager, and I was grumpy, and I was in a mood. We were sitting in the balcony, and I was glad of that. But then something happened. As I was sitting in the darkness with my parents beside me, my eyes, they focused on the cross, and my heart began to break. I can't tell you what the people said or what songs they were singing or playing. I only remember the spotlight all focused on the cross. And it was as if the Lord came near and whispered in my heart and said, I did that all for you, Katrina. Why can't you live all for me? God's love broke my heart. John 3:16 became real to me in a way that I had forgotten. Tears of repentance rolled down my cheeks. I told the Lord that I was sorry for the way I had been acting and how I had shut him out of my life. I told him that I didn't want to have 1 foot over here and 1 foot over there anymore. No, from now on, I wanted to live all for him. Gone were the plans for my own life, my desires and my dreams. I only wanted to now live for Christ who gave his all for me. After that treasure moment, many things happened in my life so quickly. From that time forward, it was like the Lord had flipped my life and turned it upside down. Nothing was ever the same again, and I was glad. I found my Bible again. I read it at school and study hall and anywhere I could, and even on the long bus ride back and forth from school. I found Christian friends who also wanted to live for Jesus and shine the light. I was part of a youth group that helped me to grow in the Lord, to keep me accountable, and to memorize scriptures. I found adult mentors and my pastors who helped disciple me in the Lord, and others who encouraged me in starting campus outreaches in my public school. Looking back, I can now see that it was the Lord who was placing a strong and growing desire to serve Him with all my life as a missionary, as one of those beautiful feet, just like Margaret Ann Bash, who was just a servant serving in the harvest field of the Lord, reaching others, particularly children, for Christ. Bible school years and ministry training began. I remember even becoming a little frustrated, and I said to the Lord in my heart, "Lord, I want to be a missionary now, not 10 years from now." And then, quietly, the Lord's response to my heart again, "Katrina, I do want you to put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe, but I want you to have a sharpened sickle for the harvest field." And that was enough, and I was content to stay and study. I wanted to be ready to serve the Lord wherever He would want me to go. God continued to lead and guide me every step of the way. God led me to my future husband. God guided me by His invisible hand into my future ministry with Child Evangelism Fellowship. And God burdened my heart each time and in every place where He wanted me to serve, and now even today. God also blessed me with children of my own, two boys to raise to be future young men of God, serving the Lord all of their days. This life so far has been a great adventure. If I were writing my life, I might have wrote it differently, but I couldn't have written it any better. God's plans are always the best, and following His ways are blessed. Serving the Lord is a privilege, and being part of the harvest team and reaching others for Christ here and around the world is awesome. For me, there is no other way to live. One life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. At the end of our lives, it's not our special memories of our lives that will last. It is what we do for Christ and how we live our lives for Christ that will last and will stand the test of time from generation to generation. It's not because of us and what we have done, but because of the Lord's great mercy and His grace poured out upon our lives. And this was Mary's life thanksgiving prayer in response to God when she saw how all of her life was in God's plan in the very palm of His hand. Mary praised the Lord and said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name." I'm so thankful to the Lord for all that He has done in my life, and the big and the small moments of every day. I treasure the treasures of these special memories when God has come near and showed me that He alone is my Savior and my Lord, and how He teaches me more each day what it means to walk with Him. I want to encourage you this season and every day of the year to be like the biblical Mary and take the time to open your heart's treasure box and think and ponder and remember all that God has done for you. Seek to keep your heart focused on Him every day and not be distracted by the temporal things going on around you. Remember each day to take the time to look into your Savior's face by faith and to thank Him for all the blessings in your life. Thank Him for the memory of that special day and every day when the Lord draws near to you and shows you each day more of who He is. If you do not personally know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, today is a great day to call upon Him. For as the Bible says, now is accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations as we remember the importance of remembering our treasured memories of the Lord's doing and His work in our own lives that is marvelous in our eyes. And remember that we need to share these blessings with the future generations so they will know the love, the grace, and the mercy of our faithfulness of our great God and Savior too.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. Tell me again.